For if the first fruit is holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches were broken off, and you, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them became a partaker of the root and fatness of the olive tree, do not boast against the branches. But if you do boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you. You will say then, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well said, because of unbelief they were broken off, and you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he may not spare you either. Therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God on those who fail severity, but toward you goodness, if you continue in his goodness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. And they also, if they do not continue in unbelief, will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if you were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these who are the natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? Let's pray. Father, we thank you and we praise you and we magnify your holy and precious name. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace. But Lord, we thank you that you're a God of balance. God, I pray in the name above all names. Lord, we feel your presence here. God, let us not be distracted by anything, but God, let us focus upon you. Lord, help us. Help us to follow you. Help us to trust you. Help us to hear your word and receive what your word has to say. Lord, let us, as your word says, to hide it in our hearts that we may not sin against you. God, help your servant to speak what you so wonderfully laid upon our heart. But God, I pray that you touch each and every person under the sound of our voice, however they may be listening, by in the presence right now or by CD or over the internet, Father. Lord, help us to be people that are serving and following you, especially in these last days. And we give you the glory. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. If you need a title for this message, it's simply entitled, Cut Off. That's one thing we do not want to be. As we look around in the world today, it amazes me as I travel about the different places I go. People are talking about what's happening in the world. People that may not even be what they would say were strong Christians or even be religious. Heard one man say recently, if the good Lord don't do something about all this, he can't stand this for this mess much longer. Church, you and I truly believe, are part of the rapture generation. But the question is, are we living like we're part of the rapture generation? Brother Dallas, I've been hearing about that all my life. I have too. And I used to claim that I hadn't been hearing it very long, but I'm getting to where I can claim that I'm listening to it a little bit longer. Hello. Been listening a little bit longer. I'm in that wonderful space called middle age. But I'm getting down to the end of the middle age and getting into the senior age. Not old age, senior age. Hello. But I'm thankful because they said the 70s are the new 40s, so I still got a ways to go yet. Amen. But how is your relationship with Christ right now? Are you in right relationship with him? If that trumpet sounds and he steps out and the rapture happens, are you ready? Or should you go by way of the grave? Are you ready to stand before the Lord? None of us are guaranteed tomorrow. None of us. This is a strong message. I'm just going ahead and tell you right now. I say, oh Lord, if he's saying that, we had it. No. But Paul was warning two different churches, as we're going to see then. How much more should we heed God's warning from his word today? Can you say amen? Saturday before last, I got a call in the morning. One phone call to ministry can change the day. A man I had just spoken with 3 weeks prior had passed. Now, he was ill. But they thought he would recover. The doctor had given him several months yet to live, but he didn't know how long he had. Got a call on Monday afternoon. A man that I had met for the first time out in the parking lot on a happenstance meeting less than a month ago. I was doing his funeral last Wednesday morning. He looked in the picture of health. He was an older man. He was smiling. He was laughing. He was cutting up with me and I was cutting up with him. Never could you have told me that in less than a month I would be doing his service. It's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. None of us are guaranteed tomorrow. So we got to be sure that we're ready to meet the Lord when? Today. I'm a practical Pentecostal. I'm a realist. I really believe that Jesus is coming. And I really believe that we had better be ready. Amen. And I really believe it's only practical that we be ready right now. Can you say amen? Amen. Because he can come at any time. The only thing that's left in the prophetic calendar is the trumpet sound and the coming of the Lord. Amen. So many times, the problem with us, especially if we have grown up in the church, we have become so relaxed. We have heard it so much that we fail sometimes to truly take it to heart. Amen. But can I tell you, we better be ready because Jesus could come. See, the Bible tells us in several places. We have scriptures to tell us to examine yourselves to see whether you're in the faith in Corinthians. Philippians tells us to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. 1 Corinthians tells us to let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. We must be sure of our standing with the Lord Jesus Christ in this time that we are living in. Paul in the text is writing to believers in Rome. He is warning them about becoming too high-minded and too proud and too arrogant because they had been saved and yet the majority of Jews had been cut off, say cut off, because of two reasons, because of disobedience and unbelief. He brings the believers back into balance by reminding them that Jews were God's chosen people and he still is not through with them. In verse 5 of chapter 11 says, even so then at this present time there is a remnant according to the election of grace. In verse 23 says, and they also if they do not continue in unbelief will be grafted in for God is able to graft them in again. Though they had been broken off or cut off, there is still a generation that can be grafted in again. God is still not through with the Jewish people. We know in the last days, there's going to be 144,000 saved. Can you say amen? But Paul is not warning the Jews. He is warning who? Believers. That what happened to them is still possible for you and I today if we do not continue in the goodness of the Lord. Romans 11, 17 talks about not all were broken off, but some. So many times folks say, well, all the Jews, no, not all of them, some of them. Because most all the disciples were what? Jesus was a what? The early church, for the most part, was what? Amen. So not all of them, but a great majority of them. They were broken off. That word means to extend, to cut, to tear, to cut out or cut off. But he tells believers in verses 18 through 20, he tells them not to boast. He's not just talking about to the casual believer, he's talking about to the Spirit-filled church in Rome. He says, do not boast against the branches, but if you boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you. Who is the root? The root is Jesus. He is the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star. We don't support Jesus. Jesus supports us. Jesus can do without us, but I can't do without him. You can't do without him. Can you say amen? We don't support him. He supports us. We are part of his body. He said, you will say then branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, said because of unbelief they were broken off and you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear. Notice he told them not to boast and not to be haughty. The biggest problem that Jesus had to deal with the scribes and the Pharisees while he walked on this earth was spiritual pride, spiritual arrogance, spiritual haughtiness. And Paul is telling believers, he said, don't become haughty. Don't become prideful. Don't become arrogant. Just because most of the Jews didn't make it and you've been grafted in, don't get like them. Can you say amen? Amen. Why? Let's go back to the book of Proverbs. Pride comes before destruction and a haughty spirit before the what? Fall. Pride, listen to me, is the root of every sin that man commits. Pride and arrogance. Satan got kicked out of heaven because of his pride. I will rise up and be as high or higher than the Most Almighty. Can you say amen? Yes. Eve and Adam got kicked out of the garden because of pride. Here Paul is warning. He says you've got, the majority of the Jews didn't accept Jesus because of their pride. And here Paul is warning the church in Rome, and we'll see a little bit later in the church in Corinth, he said, don't be boastful, don't be prideful, don't be haughty, because if God didn't spare the natural branches, be careful, because he may not spare you either. If they got cut off, then we can get cut off. Hello. Brother Dawes, that's kind of deep stuff. Yeah, it is. Verse 21, for if God did not spare the natural branches, he may not spare you either. Don't be haughty. Don't be high-minded. Don't be lofty in mind. Don't be arrogant. He says, don't be haughty, but fear. That doesn't mean to be fear to be terrorized or afraid of, but to give reverence, to respect, to be alarmed, to be warned. We've got to realize the danger of pride. The Bible says God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Paul is reminding them of the complete nature of God. Paul is reminding them of the complete nature of God. Are y'all with me this morning? Verse 22. Therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God. On those who fail, severity bore toward you goodness if you continue in his goodness. Otherwise, you will also be cut off. Therefore, think about the goodness and the severity of God. That word goodness is his kindness, his moral excellence, his goodness, his gentleness. But we don't think much about the severity of God. The word severity means the roughness, rigor, judgment, strictness. Oh, we like to think about God's goodness, and he is good. Can you say amen? God is a God of love. God is a God of mercy. God is a God of grace. God is a God of forgiveness and long-suffering. And on we can think about the good things of God. He's a God of love. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. 1 John 4:8. God is merciful. Ephesians 2:4, for God who is rich in mercy because of his great love which he loved us. He's merciful. He's a God full of grace. 1 Corinthians 1:4, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus. God is a God full of grace. If he wasn't, we would have no chance. He's a God full of forgiveness and long suffering. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but it's long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is long-suffering. He's merciful. He is a God that he was willing to forgive. Can you say amen? We could go on and talk about the good attributes of God, and we like to talk about the good attributes of God, but God, in order to be the balanced God that he is, has a severe side as well. God is a just God. Psalm 7:11, God is a just judge, and God is angry with the wicked every day. Why is he angry with the wicked? Well, see, that's what most people's idea of God is a mean old man up there with a baseball bat, ready to beat somebody on the head. No, you know why he's angry with the wicked? Because God, in his love and his mercy and his grace, has better things for them. He's done so many things for them. He's provided so many things for them. He has a purpose and a plan for every person that comes upon the face of the earth. But when they reject his purpose and they reject his plan and they reject his goodness and they reject his love and they reject his mercy, he is so angry because he knows what he can do in their life. But because of their own choice, they won't let him. And he gets angry. See, somebody says, when a wicked person died, God is pleased. Absolutely not. He says, I get no pleasure in the death of the wicked. It's a wasted life. He's a jealous God. Exodus 34, verse 14, for you shall worship no other God, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God. He's a God of wrath. John 3:36, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. He's God of punishment. Jeremiah 21:14, but I will punish you according to the fruit of your doing, saith the Lord, and I will kindle a fire in its force, and it shall devour all things around it. Boy, we don't like to think of God like that, and there's many other things. This shows the severe nature of God. So many times we just focus on the goodness of God, but we must understand the fullness of God's character also contains his severity. But yet he is completely just. He is completely righteous. He is completely holy, far above reproach, without failure, and pure and true in his justice, pure and true in his jealousy, pure and true in his wrath, pure and true in his punishment. He is above question. No one can question when he is when he's the God of his goodness or when he's the God of his severity. We have no right to question God in all his splendor in any way, shape, or form. But notice the latter part of verse 22. On those who fail severity, but toward you goodness. If, say that two-letter word with me, if you continue in his goodness, otherwise you will be cut off. That little two-letter word changes the dynamic of everything because that two-letter word puts the responsibility all on us. If you continue in his goodness. And why wouldn't we want to? I'd much rather stay on the blessing side of God than on the bluntness of God. Can you say amen? Because of their unbelief and disobedience. Verse 20, well said, because of their unbelief, they were broken off. And you stand by faith, do not be haughty, but fear. They face the severity of God because of their disobedience and unbelief. But these believers experienced his goodness. They believed and accepted Christ, all because of God's goodness. But now we can stay in his goodness if we continue to stay with, to remain, to abide in his goodness. Here is the warning. Otherwise, you will be cut off. Let me share something with you. You can't be a part of something. I mean, you've got to be a part of something before you can be cut off from something. You can't be cut off from something until you have first been a part of something. Someone says there's no way to fall out of the grace of God. Nobody or no one can pull you away. But by your own unbelief and your own disobedience, it can happen. I'm not going to say if you stump your toe and say a bad word, it's going to happen. But if you continually and willfully stay away from the Lord, and you're going to have to go around his Holy Spirit dealing with your heart 1,500 times. God's not going to give up on you that easily, but you can do it if you choose to. It happened to the children of Israel. Paul is talking to the church in Rome, and how were the children of Israel cut off? Why were they cut off in Moses' day? What did their unbelief consist of? Well, Paul speaks to another church at Corinth and describes that. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning at verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all, come on, I want you to see something here. In the first five verses, how many times he uses the word all? Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and the sea, all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Five times. He's talking about the children of Israel as they were being led out, delivered out of the land of Egypt, which is just like symbolic of us being delivered from our sin. Can you say amen? Amen? But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Why were they cut off? Why were most of them cut off? It gives us a laundry list of it. Verse 6. Now, these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. They were lusting and desiring ungodly things. Verse 7, and do not become idolaters as some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. They had worship of false god, worship of riches. They allowed their desire for other things to come between them and their desire for God. Verse 8, nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. In one day 23,000. Can you imagine what a funeral it must have been? They committed sexual impurity, sexual immorality, adultery, ungodly sexual activity, fornication. What do we see running rampant in our land today? What is a travesty? And I'm so glad they voted the right way. But what is a travesty is a mainline denomination even had to bring it before a national vote to allow homosexuals in the ministry. That is ridiculous that it even came to a vote. It shows how far that they have slipped. Thank God. They held true, but it should have never began to come to that place. Should have never gotten there. Where are the holy men of God that would stand up and say, thus saith the Lord, this will not come to pass. Amen. That's what got the children of Israel. A lot of the children of Israel cut off their sexual immorality. Don't look at me like I'm crazy. I'm crazy about Jesus. Verse 9. Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. That word tempt God means they called into question. They complained about his character. They were knowingly and willfully disobedient. Verse 10. Nor complain, as some of them also complained or murmured and was destroyed by the destroyer. They murmured, they grumbled, they complained discontently. They complained against God. They complained against the things of God. They complained against Moses and Aaron. Even though God had delivered them out of Egypt with the blood of the Lamb over the doorpost and the miracles and the strong and mighty hand, and he parted the waters of the Red Sea, their disobedience and their unbelief led to wrong actions and attitudes which caused them to be broken off and to die in the wilderness. They never entered into the promised land here on earth, and they never entered into the promised land in heaven. I read a scripture last Sunday night, and it kind of tags along with the message I preached last Sunday night. They limited an unlimitless God. There's a scripture said their carcasses fell in the wilderness. A carcass is something that's dead. Because of their disobedience, because of their unbelief, they reached to a point where God says they're already dead. They just ain't stopped breathing. Their carcass fell in the wilderness. Everyone from 20 years old and upward died in the wilderness except for Joshua, his family, and Caleb and his family. That's a whole generation.
that didn't make it. But they were all baptized in the water as they came through the Red Sea. They were all led out of the promised land. They were all under the cloud and under the pillar of fire. They all ate the manna. I believe I could have stuck with God that was showing himself mighty like that on my behalf. But said with many of them, God was not well pleased. Paul is here, he's writing to the church at Corinth. Listen to what he said. Are y'all with me today? Verse 11 and verse 12 of 1 Corinthians. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. In other words, don't get prideful, don't get arrogant. See, there's another powerful characteristic about the Lord. Malachi chapter 3 verse 6. For I am the Lord, I change not. Paul in the New Testament times is warning them about what happened in the Old Testament with the children of Israel. He said what God did in the children of Israel's life in the Old Testament, he will still do in the New Testament times in the church at Rome and in the church at Corinth. Can I tell you, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he did in Moses' day, what he did in Paul's day, he can still do in 2019. He's not a God that changes. He's not a God that should lie. His word does not change. He's still a loving, merciful, and graceful God. But God does not play, church. This feel good, do what you want to, how you want to, when you want to religion is a lie from the pits of hell, and we better wake up and realize that Jesus is coming back and we've got to be ready, church. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. I have never personally experienced the severity of God in my own life, but I have experienced his chastisement. He says, whom I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Brother Doss, this is making me a little uncomfortable. I'd rather us get a little uncomfortable and get right here than to be standing before the Lord when it's too late. Can I tell you, I've got to question my own life. Somebody said, well, I think the minister ought to do this, and I think the preacher ought to do it. Or I'd go down and get you a certificate of ordination and get you behind a pulpit. But what you've got to understand, what you've just done, is put yourself at a higher level in accountability. It's an overwhelming thought. But I said, God, I want to preach in love and mercy and grace. But where there's no doubt where your standard is, can you say amen? Are y'all still with me? As it was in Moses' day, as it was in Paul's day, so it is in our day. Sister Denise, I'm going to jump way ahead. How do we keep from becoming cut off? How do we keep from becoming cut off? Number one, I'm going to do an acrostic called the branch, because we are the branches. B, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and keep believing. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and keep believing. Still with me, be faithful unto him. Be faithful to his word. Be faithful to pray, faithful to his house. Faithful to walk in obedience. The greatest mark of our faith is our faithfulness. Can you say amen? Touch your neighbor and say, be faithful. R, realize, say realize. What happened to the children of Israel can still happen to you and I. If they were cut off, if they were broken off, you and I can be too. Otherwise, Paul would have never told both the church at Rome and the church at Corinth. Can I tell you, we may not have a letter that identifies it, but guess what? I guarantee you, Paul preached the same message in every church he went to. Because if it can happen in Moses' day and if it can happen in the New Testament, it can still happen today. Can you say amen? Realize that what happened to the children of Israel, I like what it says, these things happen to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. If Paul told the church at Corinth, then was the end of the age, how much closer are we today, church? Remember the fullnesses of God's nature, His goodness and His severity. Stay on His good side. Can you say amen? God is a loving God. He's a merciful God. If you mess up, repent immediately, if not sooner. As long as the Holy Spirit is dealing with your heart, there's hope. But when the Holy Spirit deals with your heart, don't fight Him, don't resist Him. Because every time you resist the Holy Spirit, every time the Holy Ghost deals with your heart and points something out in your life that needs to be fixed, immediately give in to it. Because every time we resist the wooing of the Holy Spirit, the drawing of the Holy Spirit, every time there comes a layer of callousness over our heart, every time it happens, and it happens over and over and over again, till finally the heart gets too hard where the Spirit can't penetrate through, and unless it takes a tragedy or something else to happen. But God is not... He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God would much rather pour out His love and His forgiveness and His grace rather than His wrath. Good preaching, Pastor Dawes. No. It's not fun. Doesn't make you feel good. But we'll make heaven if we obey. Remember, both sides. I want to stay on His good side. Abide. A, remain, dwell, always abide in Christ. Psalms 91:1, He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. N, stay close to God, stay near to God. James 4:8, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Never allow unbelief to creep in. Never allow to be distracted by the things of this world. When Jesus told the parable of the four different types of ground, those were among the thorny places, the things where the thorns grew up, and the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust for other things sprung up and began to choke the word, and they became unfruitful. But the problem was with being unfruitful, as Jesus said in John 15, those that are unfruitful, the Father who is the husband takes them off and cuts them off and throws them away, and they're gathered together and they are burned. Don't allow. Stay close to God. Stay near. Continue. Say continue. Continue in His goodness. Verse 22, therefore consider the goodness and severity of God on those who fell severity, but toward you goodness if you continue in His goodness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. Continue in His goodness. Jude 1:21, there's only one chapter in Jude. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy and love of our Lord and Savior Jesus. The thing about it, somebody says, well, I thought we were saved by faith. I am saved by faith and not of works, lest any man should boast. But I've got to stay faithful. I've got to stay in prayer. I've got to stay in right relationship with the Lord. This is not an automatic. He's done everything He needs to do for me. He gave His life for me. He paid for my sin debt on Calvary's tree and your sin debt on Calvary's tree. He arose from the grave, defeating death, hell, and the grave. He's given me the baptism of the Holy Ghost so I can have power to overcome everything. He's given me the fullness of His word so I can know what His precepts are, so I can know what He expects to me. He's given me the help of the Holy Spirit to walk with me every day. I've got the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost walking inside of me. I have no excuse not to continue in His goodness and His mercy and His love and His grace. I have no excuse, but I can if I want to. Amen. When the love for the things of this world and the things of my flesh become greater than the things of God. Hello. We've got to continue. Touch your neighbor, so you've got to continue. If we continue, we'll never be cut off. He's given us everything we need. We've got to heed the warning from the Word of God. And if we need to make some changes in our life, then we better make them. For if God did not spare the natural branches, He may not spare you either. Heed the warning. Heed the warning. I was talking with somebody the other day. I said, how would you like to be Brother Noah? He wouldn't be a very successful minister in our day. He preached 120 years and only had 8 converts. And that was all his family. He preached 120 years. He was not responsible for the response, but he was responsible for the message. Amen. But when it came time for the rain to begin to fall, God said, Noah, get in the ark, get the animals in the ark. And the Bible says, God shut the door. Not Moses, not Noah. God shut the door. Could you imagine what it must have been like, those people that laughed at him for years, that mocked him for years, that heard his message for years, when the first raindrops began to fall? Oh, well, the old man thinks he's got us. But when it began to get knee deep, they said, began to get a little worried. When it began to get waist deep, when they got to where they could no longer swim and their crops were dying and their children were dying and they were drowning, I believe they finally got the message, but it was too late. Yeah. And the Bible says in the New Testament, hear this preacher today, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be. Yeah. We got to heed the warning, church. Yeah. Because there's going to come a day, the rapture's going to come, the door's going to be shut. Whew. Every church on the planet is going to be full the day after the rapture. But for those who have heard it before, it's going to be too late. As it was in the days of Noah. We've got to have compassion on those. Not only keep ourselves, we've got to have compassion. Verse 22 of Jude says, and on some have compassion, making a difference, telling them about the love of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God, but also God's judgment to come. And finally, the last thing on H is this: hold on till Jesus comes. Touch your neighbor and say, we've got to hold on till Jesus comes. 4 verses and then we're through. 2 Timothy 1:13, hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. Hold fast. Say, hold fast. Hebrews 3:6, but Christ is the Son over His own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Got to hold fast. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who is promised is faithful. We've got to hold fast. Jesus said in Revelations 2, verse 25, but hold fast what you have till I come. I want you to understand what He's saying to us. It doesn't take a rocket science to figure it out. What is He saying? He's saying, hold fast, hold fast, hold fast. If we're holding fast to the gospel, if we're holding fast to the Lord Jesus Christ, if we're holding fast to the power of the Holy Spirit, if we're holding fast to His word, and if we're holding fast to His unchanging hand, we don't have to worry about being cut off, honey, because you're in like Flynn. Can you say amen? Boy, that sounded in like Flynn. Can you say amen? I just, poor and don't know it, but just showed it. Amen. Glory to God. Church, we've got to hold fast. I don't want to be like the children of Israel. I don't want to experience the miracles and the deliverance of God, but then be cut off in this wilderness of this world. Brother Dawes, I'm sure they still made heaven just because they died in the wilderness. No, sir. In the New Testament, at least 5 times, when God's servants, inspired by the Holy Spirit, were writing the New Testament, it said, they did not enter into my rest. Three times in Hebrews chapter 4, when the writer of Hebrews was talking about the children of Israel, he said, they did not enter into my rest. He's not talking about the earthly promised land. They missed that, but they also missed the heavenly promised land. Can I tell you tonight, today, we're too close to miss it, church. Amen. We're too close to miss it. I shared with you earlier. I gave you warning. I said, this was going to be tough. I don't enjoy preaching this kind of message. I do not enjoy it. Believe me, I do not. I wrestle with it. I wrestled right down there. I wrestled right back there in that chair yesterday afternoon. I said, oh, God. But I want you to understand something. I'm under the divine instruction from the Lord. And I will do what he tells me to do and how he tells me to do it. But it's our choice. If we will do these things, then we won't have to worry about becoming a branch that is broken off all because of our disobedience and unbelief. If we do these things, then we won't have to worry about facing the severity of God. If we do these things that the Lord tells us to do, if we're obedient and keep believing in him, we won't have to worry about withering away in the things of this life. If we walk in obedience and in the love and the mercy and the fellowship of God, we won't have to worry about missing heaven. Can I tell you, it's so much better to be blessed by and with God than to be broken off from God. Amen. One of the saddest, heart-wrenching verses in all the Bible was King Saul in the Old Testament. A man that not only had the favor of God on him at one time, they had been full of the Spirit of God at one time. He winds up going to a witch and he makes this statement. I call and I call upon God, but he hears me no more. I don't sense him in dreams. I don't sense him in visions. I don't sense his presence. What had happened to Saul, he had been cut off. What a shame for a man that had experienced not only just the presence of God and the favor of God, but the power of the Spirit of God in the Old Testament. Very few experienced that, but he had. Church, Paul warned the church at Corinth and he warned the church at Rome. And I believe he's speaking 2,000 years later to the church of Old Fitzhart First Assembly. Let us not be full of spiritual pride. Let us not be boastful. But fear. Not to be afraid, but to have a reverential fear. Let us examine ourselves as to whether we are in the faith. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Which side of God are we dealing with right now, Brother Dawson? Well, we're still dealing with his good side, because he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If there's things in your life that you know or it's not pleasing to God, it's time to make things right. If there's things in your life that you've harbored unforgiveness, bitterness, anger, it's time to lay them all aside. If we've got hidden sins that we need to get out, it's time to get them out, church. Come on. If there's areas in our life that's distracted us in our relationship with God, that somehow it's so easy to do where that we've gotten misplaced priorities. Say, Lord, forgive me for getting those priorities mixed up. God, I want to put you back first in my life. It's time. Jesus is coming back. All those things happened to them for examples and were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world have come. They didn't know how much time they had left, but they had a lot more time than we did. I wonder what Paul would say if he could step into our day, knowing the fullness of what he knows in the scriptures, and look at what's going on in our day, just in the churches. What would he say? It's time to get ready. It's time to get right. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. How is your relationship with God? It's time to make things right. Can you feel the sense of the Holy Spirit in this room today?